Hello, folks. This is Pastor Mike Harger coming to you from Studio 2012 once again with another Watchman video broadcast. This is actually part two of The Secret of the United Nations. We're going to pick this up exactly where we left off the last time, and you're going to see some really, really neat information concerning a great sacrifice that God has in the last days, and its relation to the United Nations logo, its relation to the North, and something very, very special at the end that God has prepared for you and I. Let's pick it up exactly where we left it the last time. We're going to go to the scriptures now, just almost exclusively, and look at the symbolism of the North in the scriptures to get our understanding why the United Nations puts this there, why this symbol is on the rose compass and so on. It has to do with a king and a kingdom that is coming in the last days. The first place we actually find the word north in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 13. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." Now I want you to notice this. Okay, remember, witches get into like a little circle, and they face the north, and they face the east, and the west, and the south, and they worship the four holy days throughout the year, the winter and summer solstice and the equinoxes. Here God has Abraham, or Abram, and he points him, he says, "Now look northward and southward and eastward and westward." And he said, "I'm going to give you this entire, I'm going to, everything here in those four directions, I'm going to give it to you and to your seed forever." And I want you to think about this idea, because he's talking about a country. The Bible says that Abraham sought a country to live in. It was not the country where he was born in. It was a country that was northward, southward, eastward, and westward. Four. Jerusalem above in heaven is a city built for square. The book of Hebrews chapter 11 simply tells us that the country, the real country that Abraham was looking to, was not just that little piece of land in the next to the Mediterranean Ocean that is seemingly the most insignificant piece of land in the whole world, and yet all the Arab nations want that piece of land for some reason to annul the promise of God. But anyway, the real country that Abram was looking at and looking for was not the place he was born. He's referring to the country of heaven, which would be higher than the earth. It's a different world. And I want you to get that concept, because this idea of the north seems to indicate in the scripture something that is not necessarily from this world. We see the same idea given in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 27. God had Moses there, and he's showing Moses the promised land. And he said, "Get thee up into the top of Pisgah, and lift up thine eyes westward, and northward, and southward, and eastward, and behold it with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan." In other words, here again, the same country. He's looking in four directions, and he's up. He's on top of a mountain. Mountains represent the spiritual world. When they worship the devils and the gods, they always did it in the high places. That's what the Tower of Babel was all about. Was about going into the heights of things. And so we have this symbolism of Moses, and he's looking in the four directions, and he said, "This is going to be the promised land, and you're going to see it with your eyes, but I won't let you go over there." And there's a whole great teaching on that. We won't get into that. So I want you to notice that this idea of north deals with the spiritual realm, and in particular, a country or a nation or something. In other words, it's not of this world. Let me illustrate it like this. In the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel gets to see the throne of God. And he pretty much sees everything that attends to the throne of God in heaven. And I want you to notice in Ezekiel chapter 1 that it came from a particular direction. "And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north. A great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof was the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. And also out of the midst thereof came the likeness." Notice this. "Four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man." Look in verse 26. "And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne. as the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. Now I want you to get this idea. Here it is. In the north, there is a throne. Or coming out of the north is a throne. Now this is God's throne, and God is sitting on it because the glory of God, like a rainbow, is over that throne. And so there is a, he's talking about, when he refers to the north, he's referring to the spiritual realm where God exists, where the angels exist, including the bad ones, the spirits, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places. But I want you to think of this concept of, in the north, there's a throne. Because we know that Lucifer, Isaiah 14, wants to sit on the throne. Ezekiel 28, I sit in the seat of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. It's all about sitting where God is sitting and becoming God. And it all has to do with the north. And that's why on the United Nations logo, you have that center point on the north part of the planet. That's the place where the king is going to sit. I want you to notice this, Psalm chapter 48, verse 2. Beautiful for the situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Now stop right here. We know that when we say Jerusalem, we are referring to earthly Jerusalem, but we know there's a heavenly Jerusalem. We also know that when we say the word Zion, Zion denotes the city of God's people. It is a representation of God's kingdom, either on the earth or in heaven. It's a representation of the church. The church is Zion, Mount Zion. And so David said in Psalm 48:2 that Mount Zion is on the sides of the north, and it's the city of the king. So here again, in the north, we have a king who sits on the throne, and it's referred to as Mount Zion on the sides of the north. That exact phrase, the sides of the north, is found back in Isaiah chapter 14. It says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, number one, I will ascend into heaven. Number two, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Number three, I will sit also upon the mount on the congregation of the congregation in the sides of the north. He said, I will sit above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He is going to try to sit on God's throne in the north and rule over not just the whole world, but he wants to rule over the congregation. He wants to rule over heaven. Sit on God's United Nations logo. It's pointing to the north. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 25, I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come from the rising of the sun, shall he call upon my name. And he shall come upon princes as upon mortar, and as the potter treadeth the clay. We understand that language, the potter treadeth the clay. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. God says he raised him up from the north, and from the rising of the sun shall he call upon my name. Stop and think about this. This is cool. The sun rises in the east every day. But it also rises from the south every year and the winter solstice, December 21st, it's down here. And then it's going to rise up. I'm going to show you an illustration of this, up to the north. And it's when it gets on June 21st, it's at its most highest point. Think about that, the most high. Okay? I've raised up one from the north. So anyway, there it is, the verse, Isaiah 14, 13. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. And here's Jesus sitting on his throne, and the devil says, I want it. I want to sit where you're sitting. So if you ever come down to my neighborhood, Jesus, I'm going to try to destroy you with sin, and if I can't do that, I'll have you killed. So when Jesus came down, the devil tried to destroy him with sin, and it didn't work. And then he tried to have him killed, and it did work. But not for long. He rose again on the third day. I'm telling you, the devil wants to sit on the throne and rule over everything. And he's going to put his beast, I believe he's the son of Belial. Remember, the dragon who is circling the north gives him his power and his seat and great authority. United Nations logo pointing to the north. In Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 3, we have this same idea. Ezekiel is being taken into Jerusalem, and he's being shown the abominations that are going on. Notice, and he put forth the form of an hand, and took me by a lock of mine head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and it brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward, there it is, the north, where was the seat, which is a throne, of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. In the north part of the temple structure, Ezekiel saw the seat and the image of jealousy, a god sitting on the throne. In Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 5, then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar is the image of jealousy in the entry. Then in verse 14, God's going to show him something else related to the north. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. You know who Tammuz is? He is what Manly Hall always talked about in his book, Secret Teachings of All Ages. Albert Pike talks about him too. It's this god who was God. He was slain and killed, cast into the underworld. He was murdered, cast into the sea or whatever. Tammuz was actually cast into the sea. And he awaits resurrection. And so when the women are weeping for Tammuz, they're weeping, they're mourning because he's dead and we want him to be alive so he can be our God again. And they're going through, are you ready for this? They're going through the 40 days of mourning over the dead God, so that he can rise up again and have new life at resurrection time. Sound familiar to you? It should. It's the season of Lent in the Roman Catholic Church. Same time period, same kind of mourning. Starts with Fat Tuesday and actually starts with Ash Wednesday. And the ashes on the forehead, they put a cross up here. Remember that? They put a cross up here, the center point, and it's in ashes. Why? Because the phoenix rises up. Phoenix is the symbol of the Antichrist. It rises up out of the ashes after a certain time period. Wow. So anyway, this idea of rising and setting, or this idea of the resurrection of the dying God, is seen in the winter solstice and the summer solstice. In the winter solstice, the king is dead. That's when the sun is hanging over the Tropic of Capricorn, 23 and just a little bit more degrees south of the equator. That's the winter solstice. And it's cold and dark and miserable up here in Missouri and in the northern hemisphere. Okay? Represents that he has plunged the north into darkness. So what happens? In the course of 6 months, 3 plus 3, in the course of 6 months, the sun rises up above the equator, which would be at the spring equinox, March 21st, and then rises up to its most high point. Get it? Its most high point at the Tropic of Cancer. We're going to see that in a minute. The Tropic of Cancer. Just above 23 degrees above the equator. So you have 46 degrees. By the way, the full amount of the days of Lent are exactly 46. They match the 46 degrees, everything. It's about the human body, and we've talked about that in other videos, and I don't have time to deal with it today. But this idea of cancer, okay, you say, what? You know, like skin cancer, lung cancer, anything like that? No. Simba was a crab, a sea creature. And these things live on the bottom of the ocean. Okay? You think about that. But anyway, here is the symbol of Cancer, which is one of the zodiacal symbols. Cancer and Capricorn are one of the zodiacal symbols. And so it's said that on June 20... And I had to learn all this stuff. I didn't just sit and, you know, I had to kind of refresh my mind on some of this stuff a little bit because I didn't really pay attention to it. June 21st, the sun is in, he's above the, or right above the Tropic of Cancer, but he's in Cancer as far as the zodiac is concerned. And I want you to notice the symbol of Cancer. I want you to notice that he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 legs. Well, 8 legs and 2 arms. Okay? That's the number 10. It's a number for dominion. He is, remember, the sun is at its most high point. It's in its strength. It's in its dominion. It's conquering. As I'm making this video, we have just gone through the summer solstice, and I can tell you the sun is in charge. We're having record-breaking temperatures here in the St. Louis area. 108 yesterday, 108 today. And it's hot. And I'm telling you, the sun definitely is in charge. And that's what that all symbolizes. But also, the old ancient symbol for the zodiac or the sign of Cancer is this symbol here. Now, this looks like something, and those of you who know what this looks like, that's what it represents. It is a fusion symbol. It's what it is. It's opposites that are joining to, remember the wreath, the laurel represented the opposites, represented the generative powers. That means man and woman making a baby. That's what that represents. That's what this symbol represents. It's said that when the sun reaches its highest peak, whether that's at noon from day to day or over the Tropic of Cancer on the summer solstice, it is said among Freemasons, Albert Pike wrote about this a lot. He talks about the royal arch. It's at the center point of its royal arch. There is a degree of Freemasonry called the Royal Arch Degree. And the Royal Arch Degree is about the stonemasons used to, they figured out how to make stones come together into an arch and have it support itself. The support, then, of the arch was a stone called the keystone. That keystone is what joined the two opposite legs of the arch together. In St. Louis, we have a great big gigantic arch. And it was the keystone dropped on this particular day. My dad actually remembers seeing it. That joined the two legs of the arch together. That's that concept. And look at this emblem of the royal arch. Notice the sun and the moon. They're opposites together. Left and right, they're opposites. Notice below this saying, we have a grave. It represents the sun being down in the nether world and then rising up to the keystone or the royal arch. And notice the symbol that's on the keystone. It's the Cancer symbol. It has everything to do with it being in the north. It's coming from, I'm telling you, there's something coming from the north. Okay? And we're going to see that in just a little bit. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 9. Here it is. Verse 2, and behold, 6 men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north. Now that God, and we'll stop right here. Now that God has shown Ezekiel all of the abominations that are going on in Israel, okay? He says, Ezekiel, the reason why I showed you this is you need to know why I'm fixing to do what I'm going to do. God was going to end up killing everybody except a few. And let's look at the story. So he takes them to the north gate, the one that lies toward the north. And he said, every man a slaughter weapon in his hand, and one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side, and they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. In verse 4, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for the abominations to be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. In other words, when God started enacting his judgment, what direction did it come from? They were at the north, and they went from there. And I here's what I believe. I believe that the United Nations and the king who is going to rule over all the nations together in the north is a picture of the judgment of Almighty God. You see, when people will not recognize the authority of God, the good authority of God in the scriptures, and God's good, God will place them as judgment under cruel authority, and that cruel authority is a cruel lord, a king of fierce countenance. The Bible says, whereupon when you look upon Jesus and you look upon the face of Christ, he is full of love. When you see the Antichrist, he has a fierce countenance. Now, here's something interesting, okay? Notice that he mentioned the rider's inkhorn, putting a mark on their forehead. This was to denote that these men were actually against the abominations that were going on. They were crying and wailing, God, please forgive it. God, do something with our land. Give us revival once again. And so God marked them. This is a picture of God marking Israel, putting his seal in their foreheads in the book of Revelation. When you look in the book of Revelation chapter 7, you know what you see? You see a listing of all the tribes of Israel that God is going to resurrect. Remember, he's going to breathe the gospel into them, and he's going to put his spirit in them, which is the seal of God. And it lists Levi and Joseph and Issachar and Zebulun and Gad and all of these other tribes of Israel, except Dan. Dan's not mentioned there. What happened with Dan? Well, we know something about Dan, that he's an idol worshiper and a blasphemer. We see that in the Bible. But I want you to look. When God put all the Israelites together in the camp, he specifically wanted Judah on the east side, on the east side of the tabernacle. And he had designations where he wanted every tribe of Israel to be. Dan. Numbers chapter 2, verse 25, look where Dan was. The standard of the camp of Dan shall be on the north side by their armies, and the captain of the children of Dan shall be Ahiezer. Dan was on the north. And this is interesting because Dan's dad prophesied over him back in Genesis chapter 49. You know what Dan's dad, Jacob, said about Dan? And why he would end up on the north? Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Remember, the judgment of God is represented by cruel authority. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be, look at here, a serpent by the way, an adder in the pit, in the path, that biteth the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. Remember, Eli fell backward. Ichabod, the glory is departed. There's going to come a falling away when the man of sin is revealed. Dan is a serpent and he's on the north. Are you getting this? Remember, think about this. Think about the parallel in the New Testament. You don't have 12 tribes, you have 12 apostles. One of them, Jesus himself, called the son of perdition. He was the betrayer. He was one of them. He was one of them, and he was the son of perdition who betrayed Jesus, the thief, and he hangs from a tree. Cursed is anyone who hangs from a tree, the Bible says. Wow. So now we have Dan. And by the way, Judas, he was replaced, okay? Dan is replaced by Joseph had Manasseh and Ephraim. He's replaced, I think by Ephraim. May be wrong. But anyway, you have to go back and check it. Maybe it's Manasseh. Anyway, Dan is replaced. Dan is a serpent, by the way, and he denotes the dragon, the serpent in the north. He represents the Antichrist in the last days. He was one of them. Notice this in Joshua chapter 15, verse 8. And the border went up by the valley of the son of Hinnom. Let me stop right here. If you remember from our study on the giants, 3 DVDs, go back and watch it. I'll wait. Okay, the valley of the son of Hinnom was what Gehenna was named after. Gehenna is one of those words in the original text that was used to be translated as the word hell. The valley of the son of Hinnom. Under the south side of the Jebusite, the same as Jerusalem, and the border went up to the top of the mountain that lieth before the valley of Hinnom, westward, which is at the end of the valley of the giants, northward. Gehenna and the north together, the giants. What were they? Sons of God, daughters of men. They were hybrids. That's what they were. They were rulers over the earth. Og and Anak, these were kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites. They were kings that represented the hybrid king of the last days, the Antichrist. And they were from the north. Joshua 13:3, from Sihor, which is before Egypt, even unto the borders of Ekron northward, which is counted to the Canaanite, five lords of the Philistines, Gazathites and Ashdodites and Ashkelonites and Gittites. Gittite is Gath. That's where Goliath was from. The five lords of the Philistines represented what was in the north country. They represent cruel authority. Look at this, Judges chapter 7. Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. We go back to this United Nations logo. Remember, Ben-Hadad and his 32 kings are going to gather together and fight. The United Nations is going to fight with Jesus and his armies. That's who Gideon represents. Gideon and his armies represent Jesus and the armies of the last days. Ben-Hadad, and here we have the Midianites. And where are the Midianites gathered? On the north side. That's where they're gathered. Look at Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 13. The word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, what seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face is toward the north. Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set everyone his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Jerusalem. Here it is, the evil people against God's people, and they are coming where? Out of the north. You know what that's telling you? Now, if we were to take this literally, here in America, or we were to use this as far as earth is concerned, then America had better keep their eye on the Canadians. Okay? But that's... it means more than that. This northern army, this terror from the north, remember, God came out of the north. He came out of the heavenly realm. And this terror that comes out of the north and the kingdoms of the north, they're coming out of the spiritual world. The king who sits over the United Nations of the world and reigns over them is a hybrid king, part human, part God with a little g. He came out of the north. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 6, set up the standard toward Zion. Retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north. Look at there, a great destruction. The lion has come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. Where is he coming from? Just like the United Nations is telling you, it's coming from the north. Jeremiah 6:1, O ye children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem, and blow the trumpet in Tekoa. Notice the trumpets being blown here. Are there trumpets in the book of Revelation? Yes. The fifth trumpet sounds. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Blow the trumpet and set a sign of fire in Beth-Ekarim, for evil appeareth out of the north, and great destruction. Notice that it says that destruction is coming from the north when the trumpet blows. There's a tarot card that shows you that exact thing. Here we have the tarot card of the judgment. Wow. And notice that we have a cross here. Remember the four cardinal directions and the north being the most significant of it. We have a trumpet being blown. And we have coffins. We have man and woman, and they're naked, their backs are turned to you, and they have their little child between them. Remember the generative powers of the two laurel wreaths that represents male and female, sons of God, daughters of men coming together, and they make this hybrid baby. That's who that is. That's who that is. The trumpet is sounding here, and in Revelation chapter 9, the king is rising up out of his grave. Wow. This Bible has the answers, people. It's telling you what's going to happen. Jeremiah chapter 10. By the way, before I read this verse, I haven't looked much into this, but I'm interested now. people have, all over the world, have been hearing very loud, strange noises. Indiscernible noises. They can't really tell what it is. They just hear them. And it's not like one guy's going, I hear a noise, and somebody's going, I don't hear anything. I mean, like, there's like YouTube videos, and there's this noise going on, and nobody knows where it's coming from. I don't know what it is, but it's interesting when we look in Jeremiah chapter 10, for the pastors have become brutish. You know what that means? Beast-like. Think about it. And have not sought the Lord, therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Behold, the noise of the brute is come. I'm going to stop right here. I'm going to give you a little lesson. Okay? Anytime you don't know what a word means in the King James Bible, don't waste your time. If I go to the Hebrew and Greek, it'll tell me what that really means. The Bible is actually its best. I decided that I was going to look at the word brute and find out what it was. I went to etymology dictionary. I look at dictionaries, find out what these English words mean. You know what the word brute means? Like a noise, like a commotion. Behold, the noise of the brute is come, and a great commotion out of the north. Out of the north country, to make the cities of Judah desolate, and a what? A den of dragons. Remember, what is it that's up in the north constellation? It's the dragon. A noise is heard out of the north. It's intended to make the land a den of dragons. Wow. Jeremiah 25:9. Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord. Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon. That phrase is it's a prophetic phrase of the Antichrist. My servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and an hissing and a perpetual desolation. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones, and the light of the candle. So notice that Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon, he's a picture of the Antichrist in the last days. Daniel called him a king of kings. And he comes out of the north, and when he does, God has taken away the voice of mirth and the bridegroom and the bride and millstones and the candle. Have you ever read that before? Revelation chapter 18, verse 21. A mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it in the sea, and saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of the harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee, and the light of the candle shall no more shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. It's the same thing. This is a prophecy of the destruction of the kingdoms of the earth and Babylon the Great herself. Remember, it's the ten kings who cause her destruction. These ten kings are associated with the Antichrist, and it's all coming out of the north. Jeremiah 46:20. Egypt is like a very fair heifer, but destruction cometh. It cometh out of the north. Jeremiah 46:24. The daughter of Egypt shall be confounded. She shall be delivered into the hand of the people of the north. Jeremiah 47:2. Thus saith the Lord, behold, waters rise up out of the north and shall be an overflowing flood. Think about as it was when? In the days of Noah. And where are they coming from? They're coming from the north. Those waters are indicative of the spiritual powers that are going to conquer the earth and overcome and overflow the earth in the last days. And where do they come from? They come from the north. They come from the spiritual place, is what the Bible's telling you. When you go back in Genesis chapter 6, when you look at the flood, notice what God said, and behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh. Where did that flood of waters come from? Genesis 7:10. Notice that the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were open. They came from the north. They came from the great deep. They came down from the sky. How long did it last? Genesis 7, verse 24. The Bible says 150 days. Now, let me explain that. Oh, I thought it said 40 days. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. But the waters went up. And it took 150 days. And on the end of 150 days, the waters began to go back down again. Remember the sun rising and setting? The waters are rising up and they conquer the entire earth after 150 days. And then they start going back down again, down into the deep. Think about that. Because 150 days is 5 months. Revelation chapter 9, verse 3. By the way, this is the fifth trumpet sounding. There came out of the smoke locust upon the earth. I've underlined the word smoke, and I'll show you why in a minute. Locust upon the earth. This locust and scorpions, this mighty army that God has. And notice in verse 5 that they torment men exactly 5 months. Jeremiah 47 was just telling you that the waters rising up out of the north, the overflowing flood, and the waters of the flood were a picture of this event happening in Revelation chapter 9 at the blowing of the fifth trumpet. And I want you to notice that he likened it to smoke coming up out of the earth. In Psalm 18 verse 4, the Bible says, "The sorrows of death compass me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me." Compassed. Like a compass pointing toward the north. I kept mentioning earlier the United Nations associated with witchcraft and the powers and the New Age movement. Astrology. You remember Song came out in 1969 by the Fifth Dimension. This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Aquarius is this constellation in the sky where water is being poured out to cover the earth. The symbol for Aquarius is two water waves, one here and one here. Fountains of the great deep and the windows of heaven were open. The New Age is trying to promise everybody a new world of peace and harmony, and everybody's going to be happy and singing kumbaya together. That's not what it's going to be. The floods of ungodliness are going to be released upon this earth in a way as never seen before. And God is going to use that as his judgment. And he said they come out of the north. Jeremiah 50 verse 9, "For lo, I will raise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations." From where? From the north country. Jeremiah 50 verse 41, there it is again. "A people shall come from the north. They hold the bow and the lance." The Antichrist in Revelation 6 holds a bow, the lance. It was a spear that thrust Jesus aside. Notice in verse 43 that this is going to happen, and pangs as of a woman in travail. Go read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. That day is going to come as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. You want to join the New Age movement? You want to join the United Nations? Try to bring it. It's not going to work. You're not going to escape. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 31. "Howl, O gate, cry, O city, thou whole Palestina art dissolved, for there shall come from the north a smoke." That smoke, again, Revelation chapter 9, a smoke, the pit was open, smoke came out, as smoke, and out of that smoke came God's cruel authority on planet Earth for 5 months. I'm telling you, this Bible is laying all of it out. Jeremiah 6, verse 21, "Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them, and the neighbor and his friend shall perish. Thus saith the Lord, behold, a people cometh from the north country." Stumbling blocks. You know what Peter said stumbling blocks were all about? People who don't want to believe the Bible. You don't want to believe the Bible? There is a judgment coming out of the north, the northern army, the north country, are coming to take over this planet. That's what the logo is all about. Ezekiel 26:7, "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will bring upon Tyrus Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, a king of kings from the north, with horses, chariots, horsemen, companies, and much people." You go read Revelation 9, that's what you see, horses and chariots and so on. And they're coming out of the north. Ezekiel 38, verse 2, we have the prophecy of Gog and Magog and Meshach and Tubal and Gomer and Togarma are coming from where? The north quarters. That's where they're coming from. And a lot of people have said, well, you know, okay, Gog and is Russia. Russia is like north of Israel. Okay. It could be. But I think we're looking at something a little bit farther north than Russia. And I don't mean Santa Claus. The north country, the north army is going to come down and descend. I think that's who, you see, Gog and Magog and Meshach, the chief prince, the term prince in the Bible, it designates an earthly prince. But it also designates principalities. Remember, one of the four. And I think we're dealing with a spiritual army here that's coming from the north quarters. Now, some again say, well, yeah, it's Russia because Russia's a bear. Well, I looked it up. Did you know that Russia really didn't refer to themselves as a bear? That was like other nations, like England did, the United States did. And here's this graphic of the USSR as a bear. That term or that idea was given to Russia by other nations. It was kind of adopted by Russia later on, but it really wasn't their idea. They haven't always been associated with a bear. But I do want you to look at this graphic again and see this bear coming down to conquer the Middle East and conquer the world. Maybe they'll use the Russians. Okay, because and let me explain it like this. There is a conspiracy and it centers upon the nations of the earth, but it doesn't originate from there. It's not going to be the Russians' idea to do this. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. They're the ones who are in charge of this and they're coming up out of the north country. And so this idea of a bear up in the north taking over the world. This was interesting to me. This is why I brought this up. The word Arctic. You go look it up. It comes from the word Arctos, which means bear. And do you know why? Remember, there were two constellations up there by the North Star, Polaris. There was Draco, and there was Ursa Major, or Arcturus, the bear. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 36. David referred to Goliath as he called him the uncircumcised Philistine and referred to the uncircumcised Philistine and referred to him as the bear. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23, Elisha was mocked, and he went up from thence unto Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, "Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head." And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tare 40 and two children of them. The bear is a picture of the Antichrist who reigns 42 months. These she-bears came out, killed 42 children. Proverbs 28:15, as a roaring lion and a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the poor people. Daniel chapter 7, verse 5, and behold another beast, a second like to a bear. So one of these four beasts, these kingdoms that Daniel saw was likened unto a bear. Hosea chapter 13, verse 7, God said, "I will be unto them as a lion, as a leopard by the way, will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps." God says, remember, we have the lion, the leopard, and the bear. We have Revelation chapter 13, "The beast which I saw was like unto a leopard and a bear and a lion, and the dragon gave him his great authority and his seat and his power." Remember, his seat is in the north. That's why the bear is there. Think about that. Ezekiel 38, verse 15. "Thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company." Think of Revelation 9. "And a mighty army. And thou shalt come against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land, and it shall be in the latter days. And I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes." And that, notice that they come out of the north parts, they are as a cloud to cover the land. When you go to Joel chapter 2, Joel's army, that's like horses and chariots and things like that, and they had the teeth of a lion, like in Revelation chapter 9. We notice that the day of the blow the trumpet in Zion, think about that. In verse 2, it is a day of clouds and thick darkness as the morning spread upon the mountains. And in Joel chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says the appearance of them is as the appearance of horses and horsemen. So shall they run like the noise of chariots and the flame of fire and so on. That is Revelation chapter 9. And then in Joel chapter 2, verse 20, God calls them what? The northern army. The United Nations logo is all about the conquering of the northern army, the spirits, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places, coming out of the north to conquer the entire earth. That's the secret of the United Nations. Now, think about this. Okay, these are God's enemies here. Okay? And God, the Bible says, the Lord hath a great sacrifice. God is going to take his enemies and he's going to destroy them in the last days. When Jesus comes down, there is going to be a great sacrifice in the last days. And this is where it really gets interesting. I like this. I'm going to close with this. Leviticus chapter 1, this is thus saith the law. Okay, this is how God designed the law. Leviticus was all about the law of sacrifices. Okay? And if his offering be of the flocks, namely of the sheep or of the goats, for a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring it a male without blemish, and he shall kill it on the side of the altar. Where? Northward before the Lord. And the priest, Aaron's son, shall sprinkle his blood round about upon the altar. You see, they were specifically to kill the sacrifice. Where? On the north side of the altar. Okay? You think about that. I like this. Jeremiah chapter 46:10, notice what God says. For this is the day of the Lord, the God of hosts, the day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries, and the sword shall devour, and it shall be satiate and made drunk with their blood. For the Lord God of hosts hath a sacrifice in the north country. I love this. You go to Jerusalem, and during the days of Christ they had the temple. Christ was not sacrificed in the temple. They actually took him out like they used to do the scapegoat. They took him outside of the city. They took him to a place outside of the main area of Jerusalem called Golgotha, which is the place of the skull. There's like two Golgothas. One of them which the Catholic Church says, this is Golgotha and we own it. And then there's another like a grotto on the outside of Jerusalem that when you look at it to this day, looks like a skull, the place of the skull. That's Golgotha there. Do you know where it is? It's on the north side of Jerusalem. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ was a picture of the last day's sacrifice that God is going to perform of all his enemies. Where? In the north. This is my favorite part. Back to the law. Yeah, the wilderness tabernacle. It faced, God was very specific. He didn't just say you can do it anywhere. Over by that tree, set it up over there. It's not what God said. He had a specific way he wanted this done. The door of the tabernacle was east. When the priest went in and performed his work, he went east to west, just like the Son of Righteousness does in Malachi. Okay? So we have going from east to west. In the tabernacle itself, you had, according to the law, Exodus 26:35, thou shalt set the table without the veil and the candlestick over against the table at the side of the tabernacle toward the south, and thou shalt put the table on the north side. God specifically wanted the table on the north side. What was this table? According to Exodus chapter 40, every day on this table, and it's just like what you think it is. It's a table made out of shittim wood, which is thorns, and overlaid with gold. And in this table, every day, the priest would bake 12 fresh loaves of unleavened bread and lay that on the table. Every day, fresh bread. Every day, fresh bread was baked and prepared and put on this table on the north side. Now remember, who's up there? The bear. Okay? And the dragon is up there on the north side. I like this. Well known, the most well-known part of the Bible, Psalm 23. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Jesus was sacrificed on the north side, and the dragon up there on the north looking at it. For a while, he probably thought he had it. Yes, I got it. The grave opens up on the third day, and the devil just goes, gulp. And now God feeds his people every day, right in the presence of our enemies, the devil. And God says, you can't touch him. I'm going to bless him. And devil, you're up there on the north, you and the bear, live it up. Your day's coming. There's going to come a great sacrifice. It was shown in my son, Jesus Christ, and it will be shown again. The secret of the United Nations is that they represent a world coming together to seat the Antichrist, the beast, as the God of this world. And God says, I'll take care of that one of these days. Now you know the secret. This is Pastor Mike. Thank you for watching today. I love you. God bless you. We'll see you the next time. Bye-bye.